Hey, welcome back to the podcast. This week, we're telling the story of Noah Flight 22. Thanks for listening.
Perfect.
That's
what we should use.
That is what we should use.
I don't know if that makes enough waves for Bri, but...
Like, I apologize to everyone who just heard that, because I know that, like, if I'm in a room and somebody just, like, opens a can like that, it's like, ooh, now I need something with bubbles in it.
Yep. Like, yes. You have a physical reaction to that sound, for sure.
Yes. Today.
Yeah. What we're here to do.
We're doing a very, tell me, I'm going to say the name of the flight, and you tell me, oh my gosh, the cat on the Okay, so today the flight is Noah 42. It's our old friend's Noah.
Yeah.
The nautical observation.
I was like, why? I thought you were asking if we had done this, and I was like, I think we've done.
Oh God, no. Not again.
I've heard this.
No. Noah.
Yes.
If I was better at my job, I would have written down what it stands for, but Noah is... That cool organization that does all the ocean stuff.
Yeah, very cool.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay.
Can you hear that?
I think we enjoy it.
I really
it.
Hope everyone can hear that cat.
Oh yeah.
But the
Nando.
National Oceanic, I don't know, they put it on their own website. If you go to the NOAA website, it just says NOAA. Why?
NOAA. National,
why? National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Perfect. Beautiful. NOAA.
Yes. So this is a NOAA flight story. This story has absolutely everything. I just need to say that right at the top.
Let's go.
Everything
excited.
Is in this story in the best possible way.
Perfect.
So we got NOAA 42. The name of the plane, or like the team / aircraft? Kermit. Do you know why? Because it's like sister plane is named Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And they're like a team. Yeah. This is real. They have two planes and they are Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Beautiful.
And that is amazing. And they are Lockheed P-3 Orions. So this is a aircraft that was discontinued in 1990 by Lockheed. It's a 4-engine turboprop maritime anti-submarine aircraft. So I don't know, cool. It looks cool. It looks like military planes when you look at it, but it has 4 prop engines, 2 on each wing. And we're going back to September 15th, 1989, baby. So we got the 80s.
Right.
So far, absolutely everything. So I didn't know this. I don't know how I thought data was collected for, like, about hurricanes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know what I thought. I guess I assumed, like, from space. I don't know.
Hmm.
Like
satellites.
I don't know what. I figured satellites. I don't know what I thought.
Right.
But it turns out that the way they collect that data is by sending planes with people on them into the hurricane.
That sounds like a not. No, that doesn't sound like a good idea. They
it
currently do
up.
This? They still do this?
I don't know. But in 1989, they did.
Oh my God.
So.
Oh my God.
Okay. In the 80s, while.
It's the 80s, baby.
Music. Well, music was flourishing and some of the best children ever born were coming into the world.
Yeah.
Okay. They were sending these aircraft, they were heavily modified so that they could handle flying into a hurricane.
All right.
Flying into a hurricane.
Would you do it?
So, would I do it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think I would.
Would you rather be on a submarine that was actually like down at the bottom of the ocean or on a plane in a hurricane?
Submarine.
Oh.
For sure. Submarines are made for that type of thing.
Mm-mm. at the bottom of the ocean.
It's very scary. I mean, as far as it can go, like if it's a sinking submarine, no, I don't want to be on that. I'd rather be in the plane.
No.
But if it's like
I would want like
a cyanide
submarine. Tablet.
Yeah, yeah.
I would. If I was going to be on a submarine, I would want a cyanide tablet. I can't That's live
fair.
Like that.
That's fair.
I can't. Oh my gosh. There's That's probably fair. Undoubtedly people listening to this who have both flown a plane into a hurricane and worked on a submarine.
Of the ocean. Yeah.
So they modify these already, like these aircraft are made for the military and I guess the government, because NOAA is not part of the military, but they're made for like these serious situations,
yeah.
right? Where the plane, you're expecting the plane to go through more than like a commercial jet would. And right. then they modify them significantly more so that they can fly into hurricanes. And that's both so that they can like function in like the research capacity, right? So they have, you know, extra like research equipment and things like that. And then it's modified in some way that I can't understand or even imagine to make it safe enough to fly into a hurricane in the 80s when like safe enough was, you know, safe enough.
It's just like a bunch of metal to protect it. Yeah. It's like a metal plane.
Just put some extra metal on it. Yeah. Like, so that was just a thing that they did. Maybe still do. Probably still do. I guess maybe now they would put a drone into it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But in any event, there's a plane with 15 people.
Oh,
15
my God.
People on September 15th, 1989 are going to fly into Hurricane Hugo, which was a hurricane that started to form 5 days earlier on September 10th and was still going to be going on, raging on until the 25th of September. So it's, again, hurricanes are not a thing where we live.
No.
So I didn't realize hurricanes just could just keep spinning for weeks.
Right.
But
just like out
Hugo
into the
did.
Ocean.
Right. Or right into your house,
well,
depending
on
where you live.
Right.
I know I wanted to like message Tim because the Hurricane Hugo was like a major hurricane that did ultimately hit South Carolina.
Yeah.
But maybe I should edit this out. I don't know if he wants to know where he lives. He's got the accent. You know where
right,
you know
right,
he's
right.
you know he's our good southern boy because
right.
he's got the accent.
Right.
But that's from FS Mania.
Yeah.
Plug other people's stuff every day. So so on September 15th, 1989, Kermit with 15 people,
wow.
two pilots and 13 scientists. Who are really the people we got to talk about? The
yeah.
scientists,
yes.
right?
This is a movie.
Like
this
the pilot
movie for sure.
It should be. The pilots are I assume total cowboys, right? And I
oh,
mean that
yeah.
in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how you get signed up for this job, but
yeah,
willingly, and that tells you a lot about the kind of
they're
you
ready
know,
to go.
Amazing,
yeah.
yeah, amazing cowboys. The captain is Captain Lowell, and the first officer is Jer Bear. So we've got two pilots, we've got 13 people in the back, they're different scientists, they're also like navigators and you know all of these different things. And what they'll do is they have the plane has like additional like radar equipment, Doppler equipment, a lot of different like tubes
yeah.
that they'll drop into the air, drop all the way down into the ocean. Just taking measurements of the pressure and the wind speed and the storm.
All of it.
Stuff. Ocean stuff. Yeah.
Droplets and, yeah.
The droplets. Yes, exactly. And they're going to take off from Barbados. Hurricane Hugo has not hit Barbados yet, but it is like off the coast of Barbados. And they are literally going to fly right into it. And they're going to fly around in it. For 8 to 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
For 8 to 10 hours. 8 to 10 hours.
Okay.
If you work at Target and you have a 10-hour shift, you would probably hate it.
Yeah.
right? And I don't say that to denigrate people who work at Target.
Of course not.
Retail, A, literally a necessary, like an absolute necessity right. in our society, right? B, like, everybody should probably have to take a lap at least once in retail.
Because everyone should.
Maybe it would make people treat retail workers better
right.
and less like crap when they're human beings and your fellow worker. But I'm just saying, my point is that, like, that genuinely is hard.
Yes.
But they're going to fly around in a hurricane for 8 to 10 hours.
How do they even, I can't even imagine being on board.
Right. Oh my gosh. If you get seasick or like air sick.
Forget it. You can't.
How would you, I guess if you join NOAA, you probably have to have like a pretty strong stomach for that kind of thing. But
yeah, probably.
I don't know. I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy. I don't know.
I want to like talk to a scientist. It. Yeah.
Yeah. You need like a lot of everybody, yeah. right? Everybody on this plane, all 15 of them. So they take off from Barbados at around lunchtime, like noonish on. So I'm not even starting that early. And I just say that to mean like they're guaranteeing that they're going to be flying
right
in a storm at night.
Right.
Like in 8 hours after lunchtime, it's going to be dark for sure. So just the conditions are just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But this is their profession and that's what they're doing. So there's three planes total going out into this reconnaissance mission is how I saw it referred to in one place, which is like you're spying on the, right. the enemy hurricane. But it is. I mean, it's a info gathering trip. So
right, right.
These like unbelievably skilled pilots, unbelievably brave scientists. There's Kermit, our boys, Miss Piggy, the sister flight, and an Air Force C-130. So just a different Air Force plane. And the Air Force plane, I believe, does not have like scientists on it, and is like a basically like a safety, just to have like an extra set of eyes, an extra set of brains, like just in on this mission together.
Okay.
So in they go.
All three different planes. Okay. Wow.
So our lads on NOAA 42 on Kermit are going to enter the hurricane first. That's somebody's got to go in first. They're going to enter first. And so as they fly out there, they notice that their like bottom fuselage radar. So there's a radar affixed to like the belly of the plane. And that radar is like, again, it's a modified aircraft for this kind of thing. Mm. It's supposed to be able to like tell them information about the storm underneath them, about like how the shape, the intensity of the storm. That's not working. And to me, like, again, if anything's not working, maybe we hold off.
Yeah.
But they enter the storm normally somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 feet above the water, because they're flying out over the ocean from Barbados. And normally they would enter somewhere 5,000 to 10,000 feet is not that high.
Right.
Like that, it's a commercial flight wouldn't fly at 5,000 to 10,000 feet, you know, across America, right? That's already not that high. But because their belly radar isn't functioning, they kind of talk about it, hash it out, and they decide that they're going to enter the hurricane, still go first, and enter the hurricane at 1,500 feet above the water. So entering the storm at 1,500 feet above the water is going to, they've got radar on top of the plane and like around them. So they'll be able to get to know the storm better, but they're way closer to the water. So if anything goes wrong,
right.
if they get blown and tossed by the wind, then they're not nearly as high off the water. But again, these are some brave cowboys on Kermit, the plane, and they decide that they're still going to go first and they're going to enter the plane at 1,500 feet.
Okay.
So they pull up to the plane, to the hurricane, and just right into it. And start their job, which is flying around. The pilots have to, I cannot imagine what it would be like to try to control the plane under these conditions. But they fly through it. They're just, the scientists are doing what scientists do, which is like gather and record data.
Yeah.
They have these drop zoned, I think is how it's called, pronounced. It's like a tube that they drop from like a parachute that like sinks down. And as it sinks down through the storm, it like gives like data readings.
Very cool.
And like collects the data. And then they have these different like very heavy tubes that they like can drop down and like pull back up from the water. It seems.
It's a long way.
Yeah, it seems it's amazing. I mean, yeah. It's amazing that this is like
a thing. Yeah.
Right. Like there's so much like information that like we absolutely take for granted because people go out there and get it.
Right.
And so, yeah, for 8 hours, they fly around in this hurricane, gathering different data points at different areas, getting battered around, dropping these like, you know, tubes, parachutes, just dropping them down. I do not know and did not find out, did not find in the time I was doing the research for this, if like they're dropping it. Like, is part of the aircraft open?
I was just going to ask. Do they have like a hole in the floor? Like, what is going on here? How are they dropping stuff?
Right. I think so. I think that part of the aircraft is open and I don't know how they can hear anything. I do know that the cockpit door is shut, which would actually not be that common for like a flight like this at this time. Mm. And they communicate with the flight crew using an intercom. And I think that that might be because of like a noise consideration. And I think they're maybe using headsets like you use on a helicopter.
Right.
And then communicating with the pilots using an intercom, because I think they have part of the plane open. They're at low altitude. They never intended to go above 10,000 feet.
Right.
That sounds like low altitude. That sounds like a part of the plane is open too.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
These unbelievably, it reminds me of like those pictures of like when they were building the Empire State Building, and it just makes you like nauseous because it's like, oh my God, what if you fall?
Yeah.
Like it's like that. So they're just sciencing it up.
Yeah.
Just being our heroes.
Goodness.
And they're 8 hours deep. It is 8 p.m. It is dark. It was already pretty dark because they're literally inside a storm, but now it is also nighttime. And they are getting ready to drop the last of the drop zones, if that's how it's pronounced, drop zoned, like the tube to drop down and take the readings. About to drop the last one. And they are entering like the part of the storm that they're trying to measure. And bam, they hit an updraft going like a real fucking updraft. Mm. Like this whole, it's a literal hurricane. There are updrafts to be had. The pilots have been handling it this whole time. They, bam, hit a hard updraft that shoves them up, hit a downdraft immediately that shoves them back down. And then they hit a huge updraft that shoves them straight up, 6 G's of force on their body.
Holy
just up. They shove the plane. They're close to the eye of the storm when this happens, which the eye of the storm is peaceful-ish.
Right.
And I guess the portion of the storm that rotates around the eye is the most violent. So the pilots basically respond to this like getting shoved up and down in the sky by like forcing the plane forward into the eye of the storm, meaning they're into the part of the storm that is the most calm.
Mm.
So they shove their way in. That portion of the storm, as they know, because they've been measuring it, is 12 miles across. So not that big when you're in an aircraft and that's trying to like fly around and has to try to stay in bounds. So they shove their way into the calmer part of the storm and like catch their bearings. And the scientists look out the window and can see that one of the engines is on fire.
Shit.
They hit the intercom, call like engine three, fire, 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 fire. And the pilots, they're getting a reading that doesn't say it's on fire, but does say that the temperature is ludicrous on the engine. So
yeah.
I don't know what's going on there. So they shut down the engine. So now they're like inside the eye of the storm, trying to like basically like pinball around in this like 12 mile radius of a pen, and one of their engines on fire. They shut it off. Okay, so they've still got three engines. You really want all your power to be able to deal with a flying through a hurricane. You want all the power you can get. They're not gonna have it. They're gonna have three engines. Okay, the pilot, so once they're out of that and they've shut down that engine, the crew in the back, the scientists, are like looking out the window, and they can see that the de-icing equipment on engine three, so on the right side of the plane, is hanging off. It got shoved, like when the plane got like shoved up, down, up, like that.
Yeah,
snapped the de-icing equipment like off the engine, and it's just dangling, which on a prop plane, on a plane with external propellers, it's never great to have something dangling off your plane. Right. Thankfully, like the de-icing equipment, they were using it because they're in a hurricane, but it's not like it's okay.
It's not gonna get hit.
But having it dangle in a storm where it could get blown up and like hit a different part of the plane, but nothing they can do. They called the pilots to let them know a fire and it's dangling. So they're again pinballing around. The pilots communicate with the other aircraft, right? The two other planes that are in this hurricane with them, and like just keeping everybody in the loop. They're still at a low altitude, and the scientists call the research base to say what's going on. But it's okay, right? Three engines is okay. The dangling is very scary. As they're like in this part of the calmest part of the storm, though, and they're spending so much time like looking out the window at the engine, there's like a film of something. There's like some like schmutz on the windows, and the pilots have that like thin film of schmutz on the windshield too. Yeah. So again, nothing. They're okay, but.
Right.
You know, it's just not what you would like to have happen.
No, ever. But they're also in the middle of a hurricane
on purpose.
Right?
It's so crazy. Yeah. So they've got the three engines going. They're talking. They're communicating with everybody. Forget the measurements. We got to get out of here. Engine four, the engine next to engine three, catches on fire. They call the pilots, the scientists see it. They call the pilots, engine four, fire. Jerry shuts down engine four. Captain Lowell is the one who's flying, physically doing the flying. So Jerry cuts it off and starts running the checklists and has like the quick reference handbook like open and is trying to, like, they can fly with two engines, but having two engines on the same side of the plane means that the captain's job is more difficult now because it's extra effort, certainly, to fly a plane that has no engines on one side and both engines on the other side. And again, they're flying in a hurricane. So Jerry's running through the checklist as they call, and they're trying to, they got to get out of here, but they need to like drop some weight. They want to get up. They want to try to like get higher, so they can get further away from the ground or from the water in this case. And so they start to just throw anything out. So the captain starts to dump fuel. No joke, they start to throw some of the equipment out. A lot of the equipment had actually come off the walls. They have it all fastened down like on a boat. And it had ripped off the walls from the force of that downdraft, updraft, downdraft. And so they threw everything out. the scientists in the back start to go through the ditching procedure for them in case this plane does like land in the ocean, which they have a life raft in the plane and they have these special suits that they can put on that are like a combination of a life jacket, but also to help protect them from the elements.
Oh, cool. Okay.
But guys, like, but a life raft in a hurricane.
Oh, right, in a hurricane, yeah.
In a hurricane, right? That's the thing. And everyone would know where they were. They have, like, equipment. They have life vests. But how much good is it going to do you? And it's, as we all know, ditching in the ocean under any circumstances on a calm, clear day is incredibly dangerous. Ditching in a hurricane so you can get into a lifeboat in a hurricane.
I was just going to say, are the checklists different for this plane? Like,
there
are their procedures, you know what I mean? Like, I would imagine you can't just do a random and a normal, quote unquote, normal, like, water landing.
Right. No, the checklist, they must have, like, a unique checklist for landing in a hurricane. And I don't know who would have written that checklist, but it seems like one of those things where, I don't know, like, what do you do if the cable snaps on your elevator or something? Like, what do you do? Right. Honestly, you die. Like,
yeah,
not to be horrible.
No,
but
yeah.
You know, just
the reality of it.
But prepare for everything and give people the best chance you can.
Yeah.
So Jerry's running the checklist. They're dumping fuel. They're throwing heavy things out of the water like the ship Noah was on. Or not Noah, Jonah. Like the ship Jonah was on when they throw everything off the plane.
Yeah.
Just to keep the Bible references coming. So they are doing everything that they can and they're trying to ascend. They try to get up to 3,200 feet and they can force the plane up to that height, to that altitude, but the plane won't stay at that altitude. And the captain is very worried that if he pushes the two engines that he's got too far, then those two engines might cut out, right? So he lets the plane, the speed won't, it can't maintain that altitude. So he lets it go back down to 2,000 feet, and that's where they stop. So they're around 2,000 feet. They're lightening up the plane as much as they can. They're preparing to cut back out, like go back through the roughest part of the hurricane so they can get out. Engine 4 catches on fire.
Oh.
The scientists, I have no idea what they were thinking or feeling, but they can see out the window through the film, through like the foggy schmutz or whatever is on the window. The engine 4 is caught on fire. They hit the intercom to tell the pilots. The pilots are getting the temperature reading. For some reason, the fire alarm has not gone off even once for them, but they can see the temperature is clearly a fire. Jerry cuts off engine 4. The plane cannot in any way maintain its altitude in these conditions with one engine and starts to drop. They've got some power, but not enough to keep them in the air. So they're dropping, but they're dropping slowly, pinballing inside this 12-mile radius. As they fall, the captain yells at Jerry to turn engine 1 back on, to restart engine 1. Jer Bear, marvelous professional pilot that he is, starts to run through the engine restart checklist, and Jerry screams like, "No time!" and says, "Just restart it right now! No checklists!" And Jerry agrees, "Yes, sir," like shoves the throttles forward to restart engine 1, and it restarts.
Oh,
it restarts.
God.
Okay. And they don't know how long any of this is going to last for. They don't know if they're going to catch on fire again. They call the Air Force plane that had entered the hurricane with them, finds them in the hurricane, and is communicating with them over the radio and like shows them like, here's the weakest point in the weakest like exit point from the eye of the storm. Like follow me. And as they start to approach it, the rain starts to like pelt down on the plane, but they can't maintain their altitude still. And Captain Lowell is like, Jerry, restart engine 3 and 4. Like, we're just like, let's just see what we can do. So Jerry, no checklist, just turns engines 3 and 4, and both of them just come back on after being on fire. They've got 4 engines now all of a sudden.
My God.
At this point, they were 800 feet above the ocean.
Oh.
800 feet. They had dropped down all the way to 800 feet, and they're starting to pass out of back through. And now that they're close to the Air Force plane can see. They like tell them like, hey, like, can you like see the external? Like, does the, what does our plane look like? They tell them like, it kind of looks okay-ish. Like, doesn't look too bad. You don't have any like fire at this moment.
Yeah.
The de-icing equipment that had been dangling just fucked off into the ocean.
Perfect.
It's just not there anymore.
Beautiful.
So it can't cause any problems.
Great.
So they follow that Air Force plane right out of Hurricane Hugo.
Oh my God.
And head back toward Barbados. Now that they're out of the hurricane and eventually out of the rain altogether, totally out of any part of the storm, as they approach Barbados, it's dark completely, and they can really tell this weird schmutz all over the plane is like genuinely difficult to see through. Like, they're having a hard time seeing in the dark without it. And again, I think about like, I'm sure they had an incredibly difficult time seeing before, but when you're flying in a hurricane, you're not depending on like the visuals,
right?
You're depending on your instruments and like communications. So now that they're still able to use their instruments, obviously, but as they're flying back to Barbados, it is like very obvious that there is something all over their plane. They land safely in Barbados. Everybody lives.
God.
Oh my
God. How do you
gosh.
Land a plane after that? How do you keep from, I don't know, how do you keep your nerves still to land the plane?
I don't know. I think about like a lot of the pilots who have survived in the stories that we've talked about have said that like they don't like physically feel it as much until they're like plane touches down and then their body is like violently shaking or I don't know.
My God, they live.
They lived. Everybody lived.
That is like the. It reminds me of The Mummy. Like when they're flying that. I don't know if you've seen. It's like The Mummy too.
It's Brian's favorite movie.
Yeah,
though.
Brian and I used to watch it all the time, and we just watched it literally last week. The whole trilogy or whatever it is. But it's literally The Mummy. Like, I don't.
That happens
in
The Mummy.
Yeah, like they fly in the middle of like a sandstorm. And it's that kind of thing. And I just, I remember watching that thinking that's so unrealistic. The plane would crash. But maybe not.
But that, like getting sandblasted, like Aaron Miniash Air Crash Investigations did a great video about this story that we just told. And he brought up in that story the British Airways Flight 9, the episode he did with us. Hey, the... where they flew through the volcanic ash.
And
it like sand blasted their windshield. Like that sand blasted the plane.
Right.
Because it's just, it's, I don't know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
So they lived. I cannot imagine how good it would feel to be on the ground.
Seriously.
Like, I'm so glad they didn't have to like land on like a aircraft carrier or something. Cause like, that's not the ground.
No.
Like I want to be on the earth, like touch grass.
Yeah.
Touch grass. Oh my gosh. So they lived.
Oh, thank God.
So what happened?
Yeah.
Why did you do that, plane? Kermit, how could you? Okay, so they like looked at the plane, obviously they looked at the schmutz, and it was salt.
Sea salt, right? Weird.
The hurricane conditions were so intense over the ocean that the waves, like if you like picture like a wave in the middle of the ocean, it like pops up and sometimes will like throw, if it's windy, will like there's ocean spray, like literal ocean spray,
right.
the like aerosoled water that gets picked up into the hurricane. So there's salt in the air,
right,
like flying around in the hurricane.
God.
And they were up there for 8 hours. And the salt got into the components of the, like, the fuel compressor, like, of the compressor of the plane.
Right.
And, like, of the engines. And caused them to catch on fire, like created, my understanding, someone can definitely correct me if I'm wrong, is that the like friction it created, the resistance that it created, caused a fire, which thank God, I mean, like they're in rain, and so like the fire didn't just spread, but the when they went back through, when they were at the higher altitude, because they were at such a low altitude, they entered at 1500 feet and then stayed at that lower altitude closer to the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So there was more salt in the air when they intentionally like went up, when they ascended inside the eye of the storm and like rinsed off their plane with like clean rain. And that's what allowed the engines to come back on.
Oh,
enough. It gave them enough. It washed off enough of the salt. The engines on this aircraft are Rolls-Royce engines. Rolls-Royce makes a lot of aircraft engines. Mm-hmm. And Rolls-Royce was like horrified, but also like offended. They were like, that is crazy.
Right.
Like, no way. And they needed a lot of convincing. Like, Rolls-Royce really looked for like any other cause, even though obviously they had not made these engines with those conditions in mind,
of
right? Like,
not, right.
That's basically it. This is
okay,
such
guys.
An ex. Right, right. We're not mad at you. It's okay. Like,
didn't prepare
it was just
for the salt storm
right.
of the century.
Nobody had like considered this.
Right.
The conditions are already so extreme, and they prepared as much as they could. But just this confluence of events and engine two, the reason engine two didn't die, the one engine that never caught on fire and died,
yeah,
that engine had been like replaced at some point in the lifespan of the plane.
Oh.
So it was an updated, newer, more powerful engine, which I don't 100% get. I don't think it could literally be generating more power because that would just mess with the plane. I think that it's just the components were better, I guess, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Like, it was just the best engine, and it has bragging rights now on that plane.
Hell yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
good
I mean, and salt
too.
Salt has, like, wear and tear. Like, we're familiar with that with our cars and stuff. So I would imagine the
right.
older engines, like, immediately, you know, it's a lot easier to erode in there than some newer.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Also, so there's something called, so salt accretion. That's the word for this.
Mm.
Like, ice accretion is what it's called when like ice builds up on the plane and like causes problems. And Aaron in his video, in his mini air crash investigation video, says like like it's called icing if it's ice accretion. Like, what is it called if it's salt? Is it like salting? Aaron, it's assaulted. Obviously.
I said,
obviously it's assaulted. The plane was assaulted. But
that's
now
good.
That's it. We're gonna lose like hundreds of listeners from that pun. But it's fine. It's fine. So yeah. That is the story of
Kermit do we
the
know?
Plane.
Why the pilots couldn't see that the engines were on fire. They could only see the temperature. Or it was just like...
Nope.
No, okay.
Or if they... I guess they were something... Maybe... I don't know this. Since the, like, cause was kind of just broadly the salt accretion, my guess... I do not know this. This is a guess.
Yeah.
But my guess is that the salt got into the sensors that would have...
Oh,
alerted
right,
the pilots
right,
to the fire.
Yeah.
That's my guess, but I mean 8 hours. I just keep thinking about how long that would be.
We got to figure out if they still do this. And if they do, there's 100% YouTube videos that I'm going to look after this.
Oh yeah.
There's got to be.
Science,
if they still
TikTok.
Do it.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Science TikTok,
scientists.
Science YouTube. We got to get on it.
Yeah, for real. I love science. There are some of you wonderful people who listen to us are in like science fields, which is amazing. Yeah. And like,
we have actual rocket science listeners.
It's amazing, right? Like actual. Yeah. Very cool. It's amazing. But that, like, I do think that, I don't know, the scientists I feel like the most like envious of are any kind of like animal scientists. Of course, like anybody who gets to just, who gets to like watch animals and like write down what they do all day. Yeah. Like that, what are we doing, Mariah? Right. That's what we should have done.
You're in the like, wrong fields.
I wish we have to be passionate about our jobs
and other humans.
Really like helping people. Yeah.
Ugh.
But don't you, like, there is someone who is a squirrel scientist who just writes down what squirrels do all day. Yeah. And I want that job.
Maybe we can like start studying for it in our 50s and then retire doing that work.
Probably.
We could do that.
Right?
Yeah. Like a second career. But like on my terms, you know? Not because I have to eat.
See, here's the thing, right? If it's on our terms, then like we can just do it, right? But that's, you know.
No. I mean, like, we don't need this money to eat. Like, we're choosing to work.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I get what you mean. Yeah. No, perfect. That is already kind of true of us, though. Like, we spend a lot of time watching animals and recording what they do.
Right.
Being more and more sensitive to our pets' daily routines. But yeah.
That's so good.
Ugh. I want all of you to, I hope I remember to actually put this in like the, on Spotify for anyone who doesn't know, because you don't listen on Spotify or you just haven't noticed it. We can like ask a question, which is fun because it's just another way to hear from our favorite people out there. But I want to ask if you would rather be on like the plane.
Oh yes.
In the hurricane.
We can also do an Instagram story, like a survey or whatever.
Yes. You know how to use Instagram.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
But or like a sub at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
But you're fine with that. That doesn't feel bad to you to be in a submarine at the bottom of the ocean.
No. If it's supposed to be there. I mean,
yeah, like on purpose.
Yeah, like totally on purpose. That would be totally fine. Also, I probably would be okay with the hurricane thing if other people had done it for like years and years and years before me. You know, like I'm not testing it. Absolutely not. I am not that brave. But yeah, like people have done it a few times. Fuck yeah, I'll go. Let's go.
Like these pilots.
Yeah.
Like Jerry and Lowell.
I'd fly with
Jerry
and Lowell. Well, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
They handled this situation.
They
and did. The scientists in the back.
I mean, they threw all their equipment off board. They were like, get this shit out of here.
Yeah.
There's
like
a hurricane.
These,
that's
like,
all you need to know.
Right. These like heavy metal tubes that they use for like, that they like use for measuring something with the ocean itself.
Yeah.
And those are just like, oh no, like rolling out.
Yes.
Like goodbye.
Yeah.
Just like out you go.
Yeah, no.
Like have fun with the fishes.
Right.
Like just, yeah. And I mean that.
Can you imagine though, like being their like boss or whatever, coming to the plane, not knowing? I'm sure they knew, right? Like they knew that the plane was, they're communicating.
Sure.
But like, imagine they didn't.
But if
know,
you didn't,
right? And they just get to the plane and it's empty. Like
there's
no
nothing.
Like millions of dollars worth of equipment is just gone.
And the thing is, so Hurricane Hugo ultimately was a serious hurricane that actually like ended up throwing, like for you and I, Mariah, and for like folks who live in like the, you know, Northeast in general, 99% of the time, all we get of a hurricane is the, like a heavy rainfall and things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that besides Sandy, which got downgraded to not being a hurricane anymore, but like there's, besides that, we don't experience this, but a lot of you find folks out there, if you live in the Caribbean obviously, or if you live in Florida or Louisiana, South Carolina, I do feel like South Carolina kind of gets hit a lot by hurricanes.
Yeah,
doesn't it?
I think they both do.
the Carolinas.
I think both the Carolinas definitely.
Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
I'd be wrong about that, but
that horrible. Yeah, I just, this isn't weather that, yeah, I'm used to. And that's, I mean, I've said it before, but like at the end of the day, blizzards are so predictable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And maybe that's how we would feel about hurricanes if we lived through it, but
right. Right.
But a blizzard's never going to like destroy my house, right? Like
right.
I don't know.
Well,
yeah.
I guess it could after this past
yeah.
one. But not like
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot easier to
way.
Right, exactly, not the same way. And I don't know. It's there's something more like permanent about blizzards, obviously, because the element like stays
yeah.
like longer, I guess, more frequently every time.
Right.
I don't know. But
right.
yeah, there's something more permanent about a blizzard that feels like you can prepare a little bit.
Right. And that like, I mean, this last one was so extreme.
Oh
and
my god.
And you
yeah.
had a way more intense experience of it than I
Horrible.
Did. Like
we weren't prepared at all. I mean, we drove up like a couple hours before, but we really weren't.
Right.
We had no idea. And I had been looking and watching the news. Like we were looking.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know.
But anybody who, I mean, again, like we talked about all of the different ways that it would be like the millions of different things that could interfere
mm-hmm.
with trying to prepare for something, again, partially because people who are used to it think like, oh, it won't be that bad.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, I've been through a blizzard before. And I know that happens with hurricanes too.
Yep.
And like, these are the people who collect the data to inform you, like if it's going to be like how bad it's going to be, which isn't something that.
Right.
Like the predictions exist for our safety.
Exactly.
You know what
yeah,
I mean? And,
exactly.
and being like overprepared is preferable to being underprepared.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that is NOAA 42.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they made it.
Oh my god.
Fucking
gosh.
Landed it.
It would be fucking landed it. They sure did.
Thank god they tried the engines, you know? They're
yes.
just like, oh, it's kaput. Like we're done.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Like and that I mean, Jerry's not wrong to go through the checklist and Lowell wasn't wrong to tell him like no checklist, right? Like they were both right, and they got everybody out of that situation. And I mean, at the end of the day, as far as the equipment goes, the plane is the most expensive piece of equipment, and the human lives are obviously exponentially, like infinitely more important than even the plane. So,
right.
I mean, all things like they rescued more than enough
exactly.
from that situation.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. I remember to ask about your fact.
Yeah. I've had this fact prepared for some time. And then, you know, it's all right, let me just explain this fact. I don't think I've ever done this one. But when I was younger, like kid, like 7, 8, 9,
mm-hmm.
those like, you know, kid ages.
Mm-hmm.
I had a science mm-hmm. book, and I distinctly remember two facts from that science book. One, which is the reason we yawn is to get carbon monoxide or dioxide out of our lungs. Which one is it?
CO2.
CO2.
There's no D or M in that.
No.
Carbon
help.
Monoxide is from, like,
gas.
A gas, right? Is from
carbon dioxide. Yeah. Wow, guys. We're in the humans field, so scientists, please.
Yeah. Soft scientists.
Yes.
Yeah. Love the soft sciences.
The sciences.
Ooh.
But I've recently found out that I don't even know if that's true. So I'm going to have to do a little bit of a deeper dive on that. I'm sure it's true to an extent, but it's like when you get sleepy, your breathing changes. So then your body is like, I don't know, yawning to get out bad gas. I don't know.
What is that, right? To like get like every, like, like you need more oxygen,
right,
and so getting all the carbon dioxide out is like an important component to getting fresh oxygen in.
Exactly But that's not this fact. The other fact that I remember was that a sneeze when you sneeze, it's close to, it's between 90 and 100 miles per hour. Like everyone just, I don't know, they study sneezes and that's how fast apparently it goes. So
thank God for scientists.
Thank God, but I was like, let me just double check this because, you know, 7-year old memory is 7-year old Mariah. God knows what she's she's doing. And I found some blog post about how it's not true. Because that's, I guess that's like a widely known thing. You know, it's one of those kind of facts that like, oh yeah, a human sneeze is between, exactly, is between 90 and 100 miles per hour. Well, he linked, this guy like linked and did a whole blog post about how that's not actually true. And it's more like 10 miles per hour, not 90 to 100. So we sneeze, according to a whole slew of scientists, a real long list of scientists who studied people sneezing from pepper, found that we only sneeze at 10 miles per hour. So that's my fact for today.
All right. So we sneeze a little bit kind of slow.
Yeah, kind of slow. I mean, it could be fast or slow. Like if I would have started out at 10 miles per hour and then found out it was only one, you know what I mean?
Imagine if, like, instead of the sports that we have, if, like, competitive sneezing and, like, people were, like, pushing the limits and, like, getting, like, sinus injuries instead of,
it's
like, torn ACLs.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
It's out there.
I mean.
Maybe we'll suggest that for Game Changer.
Yes, we should. But I love you, Mariah. I love you so much. I want everybody to know that I asked Mariah if you wanted to record tonight, like 2 hours ago, and you were game, so thank you.
Listen, I get to sit here and listen to amazing stories, so let's do it.
Ugh, it is such a pleasure to spend this time with you.
Yeah.
And we love all of you so much. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful world. Thank God for Australia.
Amen.
Okay.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of The Podcrashed. We so hope you enjoyed it. If you noticed anything we got wrong or anything that you, if you want to tell us anything at all, you can email us at thepodcrashed@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok. I still don't know how to use TikTok, so if you do, please help. We hope that you enjoy this episode. If you live in Buffalo and you'd like to meet us, and you're free the Monday after Easter, then come meet us. We are still figuring out the exact time and place and things like that, but message us on Instagram or at least check because we'll definitely post information about it there. And yeah, we love you. We'll see you soon.